The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Our hymn tonight is number 292, What Wondrous Love Is This, as we stand and sing.
Let us join together as we pray. Gracious God, your anointed one, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood. Mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life. Amen. You may be seated.
Hear the good news.
From the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 14 through 39. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with a cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup that is poured out for you, is the new covenant of my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to the one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail you. And once you have turned back and strengthened your brothers." And he said to them, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "No, not a thing." And he said to them, "But now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell a cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless, and indeed what was written about me is being fulfilled. And they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." He replied, "It is enough." He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. On this holy night of remembrance, dear Lord, I pray as we reflect upon our Savior's last night with his disciples in this scripture, that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was a few weeks ago that my walking buddy and I landed on the benefit of Google. Isn't it great to have Google? We are so blessed to live in the age of Google. Think about it. If you need to figure out how to fix your refrigerator, prepare a special recipe, or gain knowledge about a particular topic, you can Google it. Kept awake by the name of an actor that you can't remember or the lyrics to a song that you don't recall, Google it. Want to know what happened to your third grade teacher or that weird kid that lived across the street from you growing up? Google them. Want to go to Paris next month or get a great deal on Peruvian cheese? Google it. It is so easy and convenient. You have the world at your fingertips. You can ask any question and find an answer. Now, I do realize that I'm showing my age by saying Google it. Some of you are in the congregation may be saying, "I asked Siri instead." But we live in a world of ease and convenience. We live in a world where we have the answer at our hands. We like that in society. Convenience with ease, that is the way of the world. All is being streamlined, instantaneous, and quick. We like instant gratification. We like things to come quickly, someone to figure it out. After all, someone's done the algorithm and already figured it out for us. All we must do is search and find the answer. Maybe that's even how we like our faith. After all, Christianity, on the surface, at first glance, can be thought of as easy and convenient. Just think about it. All you have to do is put your faith in Jesus, believe, repent, trust in Jesus, be forgiven of your sin, and restored to relationship with God, knowing joy and peace and the gift of eternity. You can be the most horrific sinner, committing sins that we can't even think of, and all you have to do is turn to Jesus and be forgiven. Well, we even have the example of Good Friday, the thief on the cross, the last minutes of his life, turned to Jesus. And snap, Jesus said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." That seems quite easy and convenient. It's simple. Yet we know grace is not so simple, but costly. Jesus offers us such love and grace, and we can take that love and grace for granted if we do not pause and stand before the cross. It was Jesus' last night with the disciples. It is time for the annual Passover feast. The disciples had made the preparations, and now Jesus was with them. This was an ancient tradition, something they were quite familiar with. Since children, they had been celebrating the Passover. They were much familiar with the rituals, much like we are, the rituals of Christmas Eve and Easter. And I'm sure they were comforted and nostalgic about being able to be together in that upper room and celebrating Passover in Jerusalem with Jesus. But there was something different that night, something new. As I was recently reminded by Reverend Joshua Samuel, Jesus didn't invent something entirely different. Moses instituted the first Passover among the people of Israel who were in slavery in Egypt. Moses instructed them to slaughter the lamb and put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts so they would be passed by. They were to remember this liberation. And with the Exodus, God was rescuing them for something new, just as Jesus would be rescuing the people from sin and death. So Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks to God, and then he told the disciples something different. He said, "This was my body given for them, and when you eat of it, do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant by my blood, which is poured out for you." You wonder in those moments of celebrating the Passover if the disciples were thinking, "Did I hear him right? Did he get those words wrong? I don't remember that." Maybe the stress of all this is getting to him, or maybe there's something going on I just don't understand. Or did they think back to that time that he shared with him that he was the bread of life, and whoever comes to him will never be hungry and thirsty? Or did they think back to the words that we have recorded in John 6:51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats the bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." These elements would be the symbol of sacrifice and suffering. Freedom would come soon with Easter, but there was a journey of promise and freedom. As we keep reading the scripture, we soon realize that the meal took a different turn. Jesus says, "One of you is going to betray me." And this came as shocking news, such a surprise. And of course, the disciples got in a fight over who was going to be the one around the Passover table. And you wonder if they had even a glimmer of understanding of what was about to happen. Surely they could live in peace and adoration of Jesus with their last night with him. But I guess like many families, when it comes to the holidays, squabbles break out. And it did with the disciples. And then Jesus goes on. demonstrated that love in a holy, costly way. We can easily move from the celebration of Palm Sunday to the Alleluia of Easter without ever pausing to consider how costly grace might be. We need these moments of pondering Jesus' last night with his disciples. In a world where we value instant and ease, it does us well to sit with this costly grace. Here we find the value of the sacrament of Holy Communion. So as Jesus instructed his disciples thousands of years ago, we gather at the Lord's table and we remember, just as disciples have done through the ages. We remember in the breaking of the bread and the giving of the cup what Jesus did for us. In the United Methodist Church, we practice something called open communion. This means that all who seek to be in loving relationship with the Lord are invited to Christ's table. In fact, the father of our movement, John Wesley, believed that you didn't have to be a Christian to take communion. You could just be open to God, seek to be in a loving relationship, and want to do better. That's the criteria. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to pass a man-made test. You don't have to check all the boxes. You come if you want to be in relationship with God and want to do better. Doesn't that sound too easy and convenient? Shouldn't there be more to get us here to this table? Shouldn't there be some sort of level so that we can take communion and remember and receive this holy sacrament? No. Because you know what? There is nothing you could do to earn your way here. And we don't come to this communion rail to remember what we've done, how good we are. We don't come to this communion rail to remember our merits. We come to remember costly grace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not by what we've done. It's not our works, our membership, our atoning for our own sins that we come and take communion. We do not pause to remember what we've done or remember our goodness. We come because of the one who humbled himself to the point of a slave, emptying himself in human form. Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It is through his work and goodness that we come. This is costly because Jesus paid the cost, and he invites us to come and remember. Next week, if you have a question, something keeping you up at night, something you have to fix, or something you just want to know, and you go to Google, and you think, wow, that was easy. Just remember, it's really not that easy. There's a lot of people who have done a lot of work beforehand so you could get the answer you need. Amen. Would you join with me in the sacrament of Holy Communion? If you're using your hymnal, it will be on page 12, and the words will be on the screen. Note tonight that if you would prefer to receive individual elements, and which are, if you have a compromised immune system or would prefer to not receive as a group, there are elements in the back of the sanctuary that you could take. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And then we'll be continuing with the Great Thanksgiving on page 13. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, as we, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I would invite those who are serving and leading in worship to come and be served first. And you heard the invitation is part of the sermon. All who seek to be in loving relationship with the Lord and repent of their sins are invited to Christ's table. It's not by your goodness, not by your age, not by your membership years, not by vows that you've said, but by the blood of Christ that we come to the Lord's table. So in a moment, we'll be serving. We'll be having it by intinction tonight, which means that you'll be given a small piece of bread and you may dip it in the cup. We'll be right here in the front, so you may come in the center aisle and go back to your seats by the side aisle. If you'd like to spend time praying at the communion rail, you may do so. You may come as the Holy Spirit leads. lead us in our closing hymn, and you'll be invited if you are able to stand and sing. And then as we conclude the hymn, if you would remain standing for the stripping of the altar in silence. And then as you leave after the benediction, go forth in silence.
Thank you.
forth from this place with the peace of Christ to remember, to know that God's love, the price was paid on the cross. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.